You're watching Al Jazeera. I'm Rob Matheson in Doha. We're bringing you some breaking news out of Pakistan. Pakistan's former Prime Minister, Imran Khan, is said to have been shot. He's leading a protest march from Lahore to Islamabad, demanding snap elections. It comes after he was banned for 5 years for running for political office. Kamal Haider is joining us live on the phone. Kamal, what more do we know about what's been happening?
Well, according to the initial reports that we have received, Khan's convoy was moving out of the town of Gujranwala. He was a few kilometers from there when shots were fired at his container, in which he, of course, had been addressing those large rallies. Now, according to the reports that we know so far, he's been shot in the foot. A few other senior leaders of the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf who were with Imran Khan have also received bullet wounds or injuries, and one confirmed death. We're trying to find out what happened as to who was killed in this. But Imran has been taken away in a stable condition, we are told. However, there are unconfirmed reports that after those were fired, there was also we are trying to get
Unfortunately, we appear to have lost our phone signal to Kamal Haider there. We, understandably, of course, things could be very difficult there. Communications may be awkward. That may be affecting the lines that we can get out of the region at the moment. I understand we can go to a spokesman for Imran Khan. If you're on the line, sir, can you tell me if you, what you know about what has happened?
Well, I just heard Kamal, I think, you know, because I spoke to him earlier than I, you know, now, and, you know, we shared some information. He's correct, you know, he's been shot in the foot, and he's in stable condition. You know, at least one person is confirmed dead. There's some who are injured. But we're making further inquiries, you know, and I think I should be able to talk to you in greater detail in the next half an hour to 1 hour. But I must say, you know, that this is, we were dreading this. We expected the fascist government, you know, the fascist conglomerate, you know, which is ruling Pakistan today, the bunch of criminals, the cabal of criminals. We knew they were going to resort to this, and they have resorted to this. But this does not mean that our struggle is... It does not mean that our struggle is going to end here. We will continue marching to Islamabad. We shall not let this go.
Sir, let me ask you, because you are making the allegation. Forgive me for interrupting you, but you're making allegations against individuals and groups here. Is there any evidence that you have to suggest that you know who it was that pulled the trigger on this?
At this moment in time, no, I cannot furnish the evidence, but we know exactly what happened, you know, which we shall be sharing with the media in short course of time.
Is there any indication that this, you said before that this was something that you were dreading. Was there any evidence to suggest that something like this might happen that you have received in the past weeks or months?
Well, we knew exactly how these people, you know, are, you know, sitting scared, you know, in their cocoons, you know, and we knew that they're going to come out. The Interior Minister has been threatening Imran Khan publicly on television. You can go back, you know, and watch the last 7 days, you know, he's been openly threatening Pakistan that we should make an example of him. Other members of the government have also been threatening Imran Khan so that they will make an example of this march and that they would not let this go to Islamabad or come to Islamabad. We have enough evidence with us, you know, and in due course of time, we would like to share it with you. But we have absolutely no doubt in our minds that this is the cabal of criminals who rule Pakistan today, that they have resorted to this extreme measure. But this is not going to deter us. We shall not be deterred by these criminal tactics.
Yeah, I should point out to our viewers who are just joining us, I'm speaking to a spokesman who's speaking on behalf of Imran Khan. We are very early into this incident. There is no evidence yet to suggest who it was that has carried out this attack. We're still not clear exactly who has been injured and what injuries have been inflicted on people. This is still materialising in front of us. We understand that Imran Khan was leading a protest from, I believe, Lahore to Islamabad, had been demanding snap elections. I believe we can go back to our correspondent, Kamal Haider. Kamal, this is going to cause a tremendous amount of tension within the country.
Absolutely. The country was already tense with tens of thousands of policemen who were in Islamabad in anticipation that Imran Khan's march would be coming to Islamabad. So that, of course, would now, this particular incident would add more tension. His party workers are angry. They obviously will blame the government, although it is too early to know exactly what happened, who was involved. But Imran Khan had already said, we had spoken to him recently, he said that despite all the threats to his life, that he would continue with this march no matter what happens. So it will be important to see whether there's going to be a change of tactics. But obviously, his party supporters and people across the country are going to protest this because he does enjoy tremendous support across the country. And obviously, the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf would be pointing fingers at the government. There's been a war of words between the government and his party. And so it will be important to see exactly how the government reacts as well. At the moment, we do know that he was whisked away in his vehicle and that he had indeed received a bullet wound to his leg. We are also told that a couple of other leaders also are injured. So far, there are reports that one person has been killed. Reports are still filtering in, and we, of course, will update you when we have more on this particular story.
Yes, as you've been talking to us, Kamal, we've been watching some pictures here, which I believe will be taken from one of the local TV networks in Pakistan, which appear to show what has been happening around this particular incident. It does look very confused. It appears to be a picture, I think, on the right-hand side of Imran Khan being moved into a dark car. We're only seeing the back of the gentleman's head, so I can't be confident that that is Imran Khan. Kamal, you were making the point, of course, that it is going to be vital now to see how the government reacts to this, because as far as Imran Khan's followers are concerned, they believe they know exactly who was responsible for this, but there is no evidence yet about who it was that pulled that trigger. As you say, it's what does the government do next is what many people are going to be asking.
Absolutely. In the past few days, there's been warnings from the ruling coalition that Imran Khan's march was going to be bloody because there were accusations that some of his supporters might be coming armed to Islamabad for that protest. The government also asking the police chief was asking for live ammunition to be supplied to the police because of that. Now, obviously, it is going to be important to see, as you mentioned, how the government reacts, how Imran Khan's supporters react. He has enjoyed tremendous support across the country. It is likely to lead to protests across the country. People, of course, are still finding out, but many people would be in a state of shock given the fact that Pakistani politics has become a tense affair. Imran Khan has been demanding snap elections. He's won the by-elections. The government, on the other hand, saying that they will continue to rule for another 10 months, which is when they complete their tenure. So a lot of tension, and all eyes, of course, will be now on the reaction to this particular attack. Although, as you mentioned, the suspicion from the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf would be that the government is involved, and the government obviously will have to come clean on this by taking action to find out exactly what happened, who was involved in this attack, what kind of weapon was used in the attack. The good news, of course, at the moment is that Imran Khan has indeed been injured, but not critically. And he, of course, according to his one of his advisors that I was with a little while ago, he, of course, is blaming the government. The government has not yet reacted. The Interior Ministry is likely to issue a statement. So, indeed, an evolving situation, but a volatile situation existing here in Pakistan at the moment. Mm.
Kamal, if you could, just for our viewers who perhaps are not following the state of politics in Pakistan, what has led up to this split, if you like, between Imran Khan and the government, can you just fill us in a little bit of the background? Just give us an idea of how the tensions rose against Imran Khan.
Well, if you remember, it was in April that a vote of no confidence was moved by a combined coalition of 13 parties that succeeded in ousting him from parliament. After that, the government decided to hold by-elections on some of the seats from where Imran Khan's party members had resigned. And Imran Khan then contesting those elections as the sole candidate and sweeping the polls. He, of course, has been saying that the ruling coalition does not have the mandate, that the people of Pakistan have come out strongly in his favor, given the fact that he's won those by-elections by a wide margin indeed. So the friction between the two, the government saying that it will complete its tenure, that it will not buckle under pressure from Imran Khan, who, of course, was leading this march, which started in Lahore, and, of course, the destination being Islamabad. So, indeed, it will be important to see whether there is some sort of talks to try to reduce tensions, if that will lead to normalizing the situation. But at the moment, there is one apprehension that his supporters might come out, angry supporters across the country, which would create more complications for the government, which was focusing more on the containment of this march as far as Islamabad was concerned. But if the protests are widespread, then the government, of course, will have a new challenge to deal with.
Yes, for viewers who are just joining us here on Al Jazeera, Imran Khan, the former Pakistani Prime Minister, has reportedly been injured in a shooting attack targeting his supporters as they marched in the capital, Islamabad. Apparently, unidentified gunmen have opened fire on the vehicle carrying Mr. Khan as it passed through Wazirabad. Pakistan's Dawn newspaper has been reporting that. We're watching pictures of at the moment of the chaos that's surrounding the seconds just immediately after the shooting. Kamal, we are, of course, familiar with seeing scenes of violence and scenes of protest on the streets in Pakistan, particularly surrounding Imran Khan. He is a very charismatic character. He is somebody who has drawn tens of thousands of supporters. And whilst we absolutely do not know at this stage who it might have been who has pulled the trigger in this event, a lot of suspicion will be, as we were talking about earlier, on the elements of the government who are concerned about the influence that Imran Khan may have in the country.
Indeed, his popularity has surprised many because before the vote of confidence, there was a campaign by the opposition parties against inflation, the deteriorating economic conditions, which they blamed on Imran Khan. However, the situation has worsened further. Inflation has skyrocketed, and that, of course, has led to more popularity for Imran Khan. The people, of course, now realizing that things were better under his tenure and that the new government, which ousted him, was unable to deliver on its promises. So, indeed, Imran Khan has become a real challenge. This is a one-man party against a coalition of 13 political parties which have formed the government in Islamabad, and that, too, after one of the coalition partners of Imran Khan's party switched sides and went to the opposition. So, indeed, political turmoil expected. Pakistan, of course, has been reeling from political uncertainty, instability, and that, of course, is also plaguing the economy. And, of course, there have been warnings that it is now beyond Imran Khan, that the people are fed up, and that some people have even been warning that Pakistan may be heading in the same situation that Sri Lanka saw with a mass uprising from the people. So indeed, very tense and difficult times as far as Pakistan's political scene is concerned. But obviously, Imran Khan's party will be blaming the government. Both sides do not spare any opportunity to blame each other. And this, of course, will become more intense after this particular incident.
Yes, and I would imagine that, as Imran Khan's spokesman was telling us before, they have had, they say that they have been very concerned that this kind of thing might happen, and he was suggesting that they had evidence that there was that something might occur along these lines. There are going to be questions, of course, asked about the level of security surrounding Imran Khan, given the potential for something like this to happen.
Well, one has to understand that it would be not a difficult job for whoever was carrying out this act, given the fact that Imran Khan's convoy had been moving to streets. People have been coming out on the rooftops. That security concern was definitely very high on the minds of some of his advisors. But Imran Khan had said recently that his protest will be peaceful. He has held large protests before that were peaceful. However, the government has been warning that they have certain intelligence reports that this could be a violent protest by Imran Khan. So the incident, of course, will now put the government on a back foot. The Pakistani Prime Minister has just come back from China, and it will be important to see how he reacts, how other political party heads will react. But the war of words certainly intensifying between the ruling coalition and Imran Khan's party and his supporters.
Yeah, and Kamal, that is the way that the government handles this is going to be key, isn't it? They're going to have to walk a very fine line because, as you say, the Imran Khan's supporters are immediately going to be placing blame on members of the government. But, of course, we have no evidence yet to suggest that that connection can be made. This is going to be an extremely difficult time for the government as well.
Absolutely. It will be a difficult time for the government because of the high friction between these political parties and very tense times for Pakistan's political stability. The Pakistani rupee has nosedived. The ruling coalition brought in a new finance minister hoping to rectify the situation, saying that the new finance minister had a lot of experience, that he was going to be able to succeed in stabilizing the economy. So there are several other factors which, of course, at the moment are favoring Imran Khan. And that is the shift in public opinion. And that was quite manifest from the fact that he had an overwhelming victory in all those by-elections, despite the fact that the government had not accepted the resignations of some of his party members from parliament, despite the fact that the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf, which is Imran Khan's party, had tendered resignations en masse. But the government decided to hold elections only on some of those constituencies, by-elections. And that was also a move in order to muster their support within parliament to give them the simple majority in case the smaller parties decided to quit the coalition. So that, of course, has now failed. And the political deadlock, of course, has now reached a new height of tensions between these political groups, and obviously that political instability is now also factoring into Pakistan's economic stability.
Kamal, just for viewers who are joining us, give us an update, if you would, on what you know about what has happened today. Imran Khan, former Pakistani Prime Minister, reportedly been injured in a shooting attack. What more details do you have at the moment?
Well, the details that we have is that Imran Khan was on that container on which his party leaders are joining him. They are moving at a very slow pace. We were with Imran Khan on the container. It is moving at snail pace because tens of thousands of people come to listen to his speeches. Then they walk alongside the container as it makes its way forward towards Islamabad, although he's still almost a week away from Islamabad, given their speed. And that, of course, shows that Imran Khan's position that he was on that container along with his leaders when shots were fired at the container, and the target obviously was the leadership that is standing on top of the container in full view of the public. There are no security arrangements like bulletproof glass. Imran Khan, of course, has been traveling in this container, which is on the top of a truck with generators. It's a soft target. It is not an armored vehicle in any way. And once these shots were fired, he was then evacuated into his Toyota vehicle, the black vehicle that you see in most of the footages. He was taken by his personal bodyguards who are with him all the time. He was put in that vehicle and taken away. But we are also told that a few other key ministers who served in the Imran Khan government have also received injuries. And we're trying to find out more. But because of the jamming that is going on around the container, because there's also the threat of bomb blasts, and that's why it is difficult to get through to the container and to talk to people who were witnesses to this particular incident.
Kamal, for now, thank you very much indeed for bringing us up to date for viewers who are just joining us. Imran Khan, the former Pakistani prime minister, reportedly been injured in a shooting attack. Unidentified gunman or gunman, we don't know yet who is responsible for this, said to have opened fire on a vehicle carrying Mr. Khan as it passed through Wazirabad. Well, Asad Ramin Khan is a political analyst. He's in Lahore. He's with us now. So thank you very much indeed for being with us. What kind of an impact do you think this is going to have on the tension that is going on in Pakistan right now?
Well, thank you for having me. There is a fear that what we're seeing over the past several months, post the vote of no confidence, which removed Mr. Khan from power, that sequence of events will now further gain momentum in terms of instability, in terms of a lot more fear and political uncertainty as regards the next year's elections. Mr. Khan's principal concern was that general elections should be called as soon as possible. And Pakistan has a disturbing history of prime ministerial candidates from Liaquat Ali Khan in 1951 to Benazir Bhutto in 2007. In terms of their assassinations. This latest attempt on Mr. Khan's life throws those concerns into a stark relief. The core issue remaining that if there is a majority mandate, i.e. Mr. Khan's party remains the most popular and is the largest party in the assembly, that should be respected, and general elections might act as a release for that sort of pressure or that sort of uncertainty.
We've been hearing from our correspondent Kamal Haider and also from a spokesman for Imran Khan, both saying that it is very likely that the supporters of Imran Khan are immediately going to point fingers at the government. How do you think the government should react to this in a way that will not inflame the tension that exists?
Well, I think the very first thing the government can do is to authorize a free and independent investigation. But here, the key element is that the people who are commencing those investigations have to be entirely independent of the government, which is a tough ask. The root of the issue remains that the government is widely perceived to be suppressing what is the majority mandate and is suppressing the electoral process. This is a coalition of 11 incredibly disparate parties that did not arrive fresh after a general election. And the question that is being asked again and again is that if we are a parliamentary system, if this is to be a civilian government, then let the electoral process continue. Let the country go to general elections. And what we are seeing in terms of the public's loss of faith, I fear, is going to be exacerbated by today's assassination attempt. It would be best if the government decides to meet Mr. Khan halfway, announce election schedules, authorizes an independent inquiry into this investigation, and pushes on.
Just very briefly, if the government is not able to do something that will satisfy the supporters of Imran Khan, what do you think they're going to do?
Well, what has been heartening thus far is that Mr. Khan, and this is something that is, in fact, a political consensus across the board, whether government or opposition, everybody has been insisting that the protests need to be peaceful. The government instead engaged in an incredibly violent set of counter-operations earlier in May when Mr. Khan decided to take this long march out the first time. It is urged not only by civil society, by the lawyers community, by analysts in general, that things remain safe, secure, and what Mr. Khan has been insisting again and again, that they do not want violence. I think it would be best that the PTI leadership, the PTI being Mr. Khan's party, stresses that once more.
We understand that former Prime Minister Imran Khan has been taken to Lahore Hospital, one would imagine, for treatment. We're still trying to find out more details about what is happening there. We understand also that there are two or three other people who've been caught up in this. We're not clear on the level of injuries that they have received. So thank you very much indeed, Asad Khan, for talking to us. He was a political analyst. He was talking to us from Lahore. I want to bring in Arifa Noor. She's a political analyst and a columnist for Dawn. She is in Islamabad and she's with us live via Skype. Thank you for being with us. Was it perhaps, given the rhetoric that we have heard over the last several months between Imran Khan's supporters, himself and the government, was it perhaps inevitable that something like this may happen?
Thank you. It's always hard to say whether something like this would be inevitable. I think the kind of history that Pakistan has seen, we would always, like to assume or hope that the violence is behind us. But obviously, given our history, considering that we have already lost more than one prime minister, one former, one in position to violence such as this, it doesn't come as that huge a surprise, I would say, but I don't think that when people spoke about violence, and obviously a lot of people were predicting that, especially from the government side, that Imran Khan's march would lead to violence or some kind of bloodshed, that the attack would actually take place on Imran Khan himself.
Imran Khan and others have been stressing that whatever protests were taking place should be peaceful. Given that this has happened, do you think that they are going to continue to be peaceful, or is the tone of what we're seeing on the streets of Pakistan going to change?
The environment has been very tense, and while the government has kept saying that this will become bloody or there will be bloodshed, and that the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf and Imran Khan want that because they think they would add to the pressure, the signals from PTI were different in that sense. Imran Khan himself spoke about whether this would be a soft revolution or a bloody one in a tweet. But so far, their disorganization aside, their long march had been pretty peaceful. But obviously, what has happened today is very different. And we, as I said, nobody expected it to be like this, to have gunshots fired at a former prime minister, considering that just back in 2006, we lost a very popular leader to this kind of violence. Right now, there is an immediate reaction from the supporters of Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf, and it is, an aggressive reaction. But hopefully, once the leadership recovers from the shock, because at the moment, it seems as if they're all rushing to Lahore, where the former prime minister has been taken for treatment, they will try and keep their supporters calm and prevent the kind of violence that broke out in Pakistan when Benazir Bhutto was assassinated back in 2007.
It is going to put the government in a very difficult position, isn't it? Because even, let's, for the sake of argument, say the government had nothing to do with this at all, it is going to be very difficult for the government to try to persuade people that it was not connected with what has happened today, if indeed that is the case.
Yes, I think that the immediate, that's very obvious at the moment. Of course, we don't know at the moment who has been injured, how significant or serious the injuries to Imran Khan himself are. There is talk already of at least one person having been injured very badly. So obviously, that is going to be the immediate concern. But beyond it, if you look at the political situation, the government, which is already on the defensive, and it's on the defensive partly, of course, because of the popularity of Imran Khan. Then recently we've had the death of a journalist, and that, you know, whenever an event like that takes place, there is a lot of pressure on the government, and especially because of the circumstances in which he left the country. Everybody, you know, there were cases that were registered against him, and we've had some very extraordinary reactions to his death. And the attack on Imran Khan is just going to up the pressure, the government, and to some extent on the military as well. Let's see. But I don't think that this is going to be a case of where just only the government will feel the pressure. I think the military leadership will also feel it.
Yes, as we were talking there just a few seconds ago, we were seeing some pictures of coming from Pakistan TV. In fact, the pictures are on screen now, showing a red circle in which there appears to be a man wearing a black jacket and holding what appears to be a pistol in his right hand. He's being grabbed by a man in a red top shirt immediately behind him. That possibly could be a picture of one of the attackers. We have no evidence to suggest that or to back that up at the moment, but as I say, these are pictures that are coming out from Pakistan TV. But Arifa Noor, political analyst and columnist for Dawn, we appreciate you being with us on Al Jazeera. Thank you very much indeed. Well, earlier I spoke with Imran Khan's spokesperson, and he says this attack will not stop their march towards the capital.
I spoke to him earlier than I, you know, now, and, you know, we shared some information. He's correct. You know, he's been shot in the foot, and he's in stable condition. You know, at least one person is confirmed dead. There's some who are injured. But we're making further inquiries, you know, and I think I should be able to talk to you in greater detail in the next half an hour to 1 hour. But I must say, you know, that this is, we were dreading this. We expected the fascist government, you know, the fascist conglomerate, you know, which is ruling Pakistan today, the bunch of criminals, the cabal of criminals. We knew they were going to resort to this, and they have resorted to this. It does not mean that our struggle is going to end here. We will continue marching to Islamabad. We shall not let this go.
Sir, let me ask you, because you're making the allegation. Yeah. Forgive me for interrupting you, but you're making allegations against individuals and groups here. Is there any evidence that you have to suggest that you know who it was that pulled the trigger on this?
At this moment in time, no, I cannot furnish the evidence, but we know exactly what happened, you know, which we shall be sharing with the media in short course of time.
Is there any indication that this, you said before that this was something that you were dreading. Was there any evidence to suggest that something like this might happen that you have received in the past weeks or months?
Well, we knew exactly how these people, you know, are, you know, sitting scared, you know, in their cocoons, you know, and we knew that they're going to come out. The interior minister has been threatening Imran Khan publicly on television. You can go back, you know, and watch the last 7 days. You know, he has been openly threatening Pakistan that we should make an example of him. Other members of the government have also been threatening Imran Khan that they will make an example of this march and that they would not let this go to Islamabad or come to Islamabad. We have enough evidence with us, you know, and in due course of time, we would like to share it with you. But we have absolutely no doubt in our minds that this is the cabal of criminals who rule Pakistan today, that they have resorted to this extreme measure. But this is not going to deter us. We shall not be deterred by these criminal tactics.
Okay, we can go back to our correspondent, Kamal Haider, who's talking to us on the phone. Kamal, it is quite clear from what Imran Khan's spokesman is saying there that they know exactly who was behind this attack. But, of course, we're in the early stages of this. There is no evidence to suggest who it was that pulled the trigger or who may have carried out the attack. Nevertheless, this is simply going to add to the tension that we have been seeing in Pakistan growing over the last weeks and months.
Indeed, that tension has been growing in the backdrop of censorship. Imran's speeches are being censored by the local TV. Also, the fact that many journalists have left Pakistan, saying that there was a threat to their life from the government. Key journalists, three, four journalists in just 1 week alone, have left Pakistan. There's a media clampdown. And now this particular incident. So suspicions, of course, would be high that somebody from the ruling coalition was involved. But as you very rightly said, it is too early to point fingers. His party members, of course, are convinced that this was orchestrated by elements within the government. The interior minister has been threatening. He, of course, has said that he suspects that Imran Khan's march would end in a bloody way because there were weapons that were being smuggled. So far, no concrete evidence given by the government to that effect. Imran Khan has held large protests within the country. Most of them have been peaceful. He's always said that he plays by the book and by the constitution and had assured everybody that this was a peace march, a march for freedom in Pakistan, that women and children, and we saw that ourselves, that women and children, entire families have been participating in this protest march, which of course has been grinding its way to Islamabad. In the meantime, Islamabad has, the government has requisitioned the services of tens of thousands of security personnel. Right now, Islamabad looks more like a dry port with shipping containers that have been put on the side of the roads in order to block access to Islamabad to prevent Imran Khan's march from entering the city. So this particular incident is not going to be taken lightly by his supporters who are in large numbers across the country. And there may be a reaction on the streets with protests breaking out across the country, given the fact that he's one of the most popular leaders in Pakistan today. We had spoken to him earlier a few days ago. We were on the same container with Imran Khan. There were obviously security concerns, but Imran Khan said to us that he was not worried about the consequences, that this was a march for freedom and through democracy in Pakistan. He's been very critical of the government, and he was going to make some more revelations today. He's been singling out the government in his speeches, and the government, on the other hand, has been singling out Imran Khan for trying to blackmail them. So, indeed, a very volatile political situation in Pakistan, and this incident is likely to add to the temperature.
Kamal Haider, live for us in Islamabad on the phone. Kamal, thank you very much indeed. I'm joined now by Al Jazeera's Osama Bin Javed, who's covered Pakistan extensively for us. We heard Imran Khan's spokesman there saying that, as far as they were concerned, this march was going to continue. There was nothing that was going to stop it. And yet, as Kamal was just telling us, there are shipping containers which are blocking the roads in Islamabad. That seems as though, given what has happened today, there is going to be, there has to be almost a tension point when that march, if and when that march, makes its way to Islamabad. This is going to be a very, very tense time.
Another tense time in Pakistan's volatile political last few years. Imran Khan's insisted that he is going to go ahead with this march, no matter what. And he said that, and he's warned that this could be a bloodshed-ridden march if the government does not give him what he wants, which is a date for early elections, which so far the government has rejected. To the point of what the containers look like, every single time in this government, or whether Imran Khan was in power, when there is a march, when there is a political movement going towards Islamabad, that is the modus operandi of the security establishment. They block the roads, they bring in shipping containers, the red zone is sealed, and nobody's allowed to enter. Now, there is a, there's also a court case underway where Imran Khan is saying that we should be given the right, we have the right to protest, we should be given space in Islamabad, and the government has resisted so far, citing that the last time they gave him space, he attacked the red zone, and there were scuffles with the government, and lots of people were injured. As we're speaking now, I'm looking at the tweet from the former Minister for Human Rights, who says that essentially accusing the current Interior Minister of Pakistan, because he threatened, and in her words, Rana Sana threatened to murder Imran Khan, and today we saw him attempt that. He should be arrested on attempted murder. That's what she says. And Shirin Mazari further says the string pullers, the establishment, will also be held responsible by the nation for this. So you see that already there are fingers being pointed at not just the government, but also the military establishment of Pakistan, which for years had been accused of backing Imran Khan. Remember, the people who are in power now accused Imran Khan of riding on the back of Pakistan's powerful military to win those elections. And now Imran Khan has fallen out of favor. He's called them names, so much so that the director general of Pakistan's intelligence agency, for the first time in 70 years of Pakistan's history, had to come out on TV and saying they have no role in politics. They are not backing any horse in this, and people should use their democratic rights according to the Constitution of Pakistan. So again, this background is important because it shows you how volatile the situation has been in the last few weeks, if not the last few months, when Imran Khan was ousted with a vote of no confidence.
Osama, stay with me, because we have Shireen Massari, who is the senior vice president of Imran Khan's own Tehreek-e-Insaf party, and she's with us on the phone. Ma'am, thank you very much indeed for being with us on Al Jazeera. Just first, can I ask you, do you know any more about what has happened today?
Well, what we know now is that there was this man firing, who fired directly at Imran Khan from the crowd. One of our workers pushed his gun down. One of our workers died as a result, and one of our senators is injured. Ex-Governor Imran Ismail is injured. Another worker who was on the container, Rashid, is injured. Another gentleman by the name of Mr. Chatta is injured. So obviously this is the last desperate attempt to try and stop the long march. And this is nothing new. Unfortunately, we now have an interior minister who has already got blood on his hands from previous cases. And he, for the last week, has been directly actually using the word that he's going to get Imran Khan. So, which is why I have stated that he, his public statements have been threatening to murder Imran Khan, and this was an attempt today. But not just that, we know that in Pakistan's history, the military, the establishment, whenever political leaders fall out with them, murders happen. There's Liaquat Ali Khan, then most recently, of course, we have seen Benazir Bhutto's murder still unresolved. And this was an attempt now at Imran Khan's life. So, unfortunately, our history shows that leaders who stand in fight for independence or will not accept diktat are punished in a most fatal manner.
Do you think that it is important now for leading supporters of Imran Khan, like yourself, to encourage the crowds that we have seen, the tens of thousands of supporters who've come out to support Imran Khan in the past, to stay calm in this incident, to try to avoid an explosion of violence akin to what we have seen before on the streets of Pakistan?
If you recall, on the 25th of May, when Imran Khan had asked for the march and people came out, we were absolutely peaceful. We never carry weapons because our protests always include families. And it was this government, backed by the establishment, that unleashed violence against us. Again, this time, Imran Khan has consistently stated that our march is peaceful. I was alongside, except for the last 2 days, with the march, and we had children and families coming up. Not that it's a group of men just protesting. It's the nation that has risen. And Imran Khan is the one who has kept the temperature of the people controlled. People are angry. They're angry at the way the establishment has behaved. The press conference that was conducted around resentment. They're angry at a bunch of thieves that the establishment imposed on the country. So people are very, very angry. And this attempt to kill Imran Khan is going to create more anger. And we have to try and contain it. But frankly, are not going to act sensibly, then I'm afraid how long will people be able to control their tempers? I don't know, already protests across Pakistan, and with Imran Khan injured, we don't see who is going to control them, and how many people of the country will the establishment fire upon or kill. This is not acceptable. The first thing that we demand is that Rana Sanaullah immediately resign and his name should be put as attempted murder.
Shireen Mazari, please stay with me because we have our correspondent Osama Bin Javed in Doha with us. He's covered Pakistan extensively. What do you have to...
Ms. Mazari, just a quick note on what Mitch, your former Prime Minister Imran Khan had said, that the revolution is coming in Pakistan through ballot or bloodshed. Are those words in any way connected to what we're seeing on the streets today? And what is going to be your future course of action? Is the march going to continue? As Rob said, are you going to ask people for calm? Because we're already seeing pictures where policemen have been attacked in the streets of Pakistan.
We always want calm. At a certain point, it's difficult to control an angry mob, as everybody knows. And it is up to the state to ensure that they don't do anything reckless now in terms of attacking protesters, in terms of firing on protesters. That was not the way to go about it. This sort of, mindset, tunnel vision of the establishment has causes a lot of damage in Pakistan. And the second thing is that I'm sure tonight there will be a discussion on the march, but our goal will remain, and how the march continues towards Islamabad, we will decide, because my own fear is that people may reach Islamabad before the leadership even decides. People are so angry right now. And I said before, this is nothing new in Pakistan. Whenever a populist leader who catches the nation's fantasy and promises them justice and freedom, that leader is not acceptable to the powers that be, the establishment. And this is the reaction to a populist movement. It's extremely foolish and short-sighted because it does damage to the country, nothing else.
Thank you very much indeed for joining us. That was Shireen Mazari, Senior Vice President of Imran Khan's own Tehreek-e-Insaf party. She's been talking to us on the phone on the day that Imran Khan, the former Pakistani Prime Minister, has reportedly been injured in a shooting attack targeting his supporters as they marched on the capital, Islamabad. We're told that unidentified gunmen opened fire on the vehicle carrying Mr. Khan as it passed through Wazirabad. That was according to Pakistan's Dawn newspaper. We've also been seeing footage from local television in Pakistan, which has been showing us the moments just after Imran Khan was shot. We understand he was shot in the foot. We are going to have more details on this in later bulletins.